Good morning. My name is Arturo, and this is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Today's meditation is called Crazy Stupid Love. It's about the 2011 movie featuring Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, and Emma Stone, and a whole big cast of other characters. The main characters in the movie are Cal Weaver and his wife Emily, and they're having marriage trouble. And so that's a good plot for a movie, because these things are real to life. And when something like that happens, you face a lot of trouble. And anybody who's been in that kind of situation understands that things get complicated and people don't always act right. Well, in this movie, pretty much nobody acts right. If you look at what the people do, I think everybody makes every mistake possible. They all go about messing up their lives, messing up relationships, and messing up with other people. It's like they don't understand boundaries, and they don't know, they don't have a lot of wisdom, or they don't take the time to think before they act. And it's interesting and it's funny. It's a good movie. So this movie, I always believed that I loved it because of Cal, because it's a story about a man whose wife cheated on him and is breaking up their marriage, and a man who realizes that he had quit trying, realized that for his part, he lost his wife's interest because he kind of lost interest in doing things and being a man. One of the things that he learns is how to dress right, but I don't think that's the big issue. I think the big issue was going to be communication and being there, being involved. He was lacking involvement because the divorce announcement came as a real shock to him. The fact that his wife had been with somebody else was surprising to him. And I'll tell you what, when you're close with your significant other, you have a tendency to know when something's wrong, especially when there's good communication. And that's the key for relationships. But in this movie, it just goes haywire. It goes nuts just from the very beginning. So Cal is losing his marriage, and he ends up giving up and running away. And he goes to this bar to drown his sorrows. He starts drinking there by himself, and he starts telling people his sad, sad story of how his wife slept with somebody else and is breaking up their marriage, and now he's alone. And I think one other significant thing happens to Cal that kind of drives things along, and that's that he has one good friend named Bernie. And when Bernie and his wife Claire find out that their friends are having marriage trouble, I think she suggests that they can only be friends with one of them. And so Bernie goes and meets with Cal at his new hangout, and he tells him, hey, you know, Claire and I, we got together, and she says we can only have one of you guys as friends. And the way that he says it, he says, I chose you, but she said no. And so he abandons Cal. He leaves him. He breaks up with him, so to speak. And so we have this man with this marriage trouble, all alone, trying to drown his sorrows. And now he doesn't even have a friend to cry on his shoulder. He doesn't even have a friend to talk to about it. And so that's why he's there, abandoned completely, and just trying to befriend strangers and tell them about his story to see who's going to have compassion on him, who's going to lend an ear, who's going to be somebody who's willing to listen. And in comes Jacob. Jacob Palmer is played by Ryan Gosling, and in this movie, he's Mr. Handsome McGee. He is the rich kid, a young man who has lots of money, lots of time, and he's really good with the ladies. Which, why wouldn't he be if he's young, handsome, and rich? So he goes to this bar all the time, and he's just picking up women left and right. And these young ladies are, I guess they seem a little desperate to somebody from an older generation. But they're seeking companionship, and I think the rules of relationships have changed in our society, and this is one place where you'll find things like this, that these young ladies fall for the thing that Jacob's doing. But I think Jacob is an interesting character, because he's the one who notices Cal. He's the one who takes an interest in him. And then he offers to help him change his life, and specifically to help him become a man again, because he tells him, "You've lost your manhood." And that's a big theme of the movie. And Jacob has these interesting ideas about what manhood is. His idea is that you've got to be the aggressor. You've got to dominate conversation. If you see something that you want, you have to go and you take it. That's kind of an alpha male mentality. That is a business mentality of like strong salesmanship. Whatever it is that you want, you go out and you get it and you work and you make it work. And he's kind of following that type of mindset. But why? And I want to get into the psychology of this young man, the identity of him, and why he's doing these kinds of things. So first of all, why is he a womanizer? We get clues in the movie. It's not spelled out straightforward, but I want to go over these things that are going on in his life. Cal, when he gets approached by Ryan Gosling, by Jacob, he asks him, "Why are you doing this? Why are you offering me, you know, the chance to become a man again? Why are you taking the time and energy to come into my life and try to help me at my lowest point?" And so Jacob tells him, he says, "Maybe you remind me of somebody." And he describes him in a very specific way. He says, "You have a kind face. You have a full head of hair. You seem like a nice guy." And later on in the movie, we see there's a girl that catches Jacob's attention, and she doesn't fall for his BS. And they end up having a conversation one night when she finally comes around and comes to him. And he breaks all the rules. He's always just made the girls talk about themselves. "Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family. What do you do? You know, who are you?" And he would never talk about himself, which is a good way to keep people's attention, because people love talking about themselves. But this night he meets the girl who doesn't pick up his BS, who doesn't take the hook when he's feeding her lines. So he finally lets his walls come down, his walls of defense, and he tells her, he says, "Would you ask me a personal question about myself?" And she tells him, "Tell me about your father." And he starts to describe his father. He says, "My father was too nice. He was a really nice guy. He was a good businessman." And then he talks about his mother, and he says, "My mother was beautiful, and but she was very vain." And he talks about the relationship, like his mother was powerful and overpowered his father because his father was too nice. And so we see that Jacob has these attitudes towards people who are in love. And way later in the movie, he says, "I always looked at people like you, like Cal, somebody who fell in love, got married, and had a family young." He says, "I always looked at people who were in love. I looked at them as idiots. I saw them as schmucks." And he has this attitude because I think, and this is my own interpretation, that he saw what happened with his mother and father, that his mother was beautiful and vain, and she was the aggressor, and she got over on his dad. He saw his dad as maybe not the victim, but the lesser in the relationship. He saw that he probably did good to his mother quite a bit. He probably did whatever she asked him to do. He probably was there for her all the time, and perhaps she didn't reciprocate. And so I think because of the attitude that he has, he probably has some of that going on. He probably saw that, and he did what any young man would do. The thing about a father and son relationship is that the son as he's growing, at first he sees the father as a hero and he sees him as he can do no wrong. And as the young man becomes a man, as he starts to really grow into his own and start to understand the world, he starts to see the flaws in his father. And he starts to see, like, well, this is what manhood is. I'm coming to understand what it is to be a man. But now I see that my father has done this, this, and that wrong. He looks at his father and he starts to see his flaws. And he starts to think arrogantly within himself, I can do it better. And that's what I see in Jacob Palmer, is that he saw his father fall in love. Not when it first happened, but throughout his lifetime, he saw, you know, this is what happened to my father. He fell in love. That was the problem with my father. He fell in love. Because he fell in love, somebody got over on him. Somebody who he loved took advantage of him. And maybe she got the better end of the deal. And I don't know if they divorced. I don't know if they separated. I don't know. It doesn't tell us all the specifics. It tells us these general things about their marriage. And it tells us that he died at some point. So it's possible that they had gotten divorced. It's possible that he had lost quite a bit. But we do know that his father has died. So he doesn't have his father anymore. So when he sees Cal, he understands this is a broken man. And he sees that perhaps this man had the same thing happen to him as my father. And so he's making a connection there. And when he makes this connection, he says, you know, I couldn't do anything about my father. I was too young. I was inexperienced. I didn't know how to handle the world. But he feels like at this point, now I have a handle on things. Now I know how to handle myself. And especially I know how to handle women. So I'm going to teach this man how to handle women. And that's what he does. He goes about teaching him and training him on how to dress, how to act, how to talk, and how not to talk, especially. And he trains him to go out and be the aggressor and basically become a womanizer, which is not what Cal is. At one point, they're having a conversation in this so-called training, and Jacob asks him straightforward, how many women have you been with? And he says, one. And of course, the young man starts laughing and he's like in disbelief. But Cal tells him, like, look, that's how it is. This is who I am. This is what my life has been up until this point. And so I see really interestingly that Jacob says, wow, good for you. That's awesome. Like, I don't know if he says awesome, but he basically tells him that that's a good thing. And I believe that. I've heard that before from a young lady. Not the one, you know, one man, one woman thing, but a young lady who was saving herself. There's a story about how these girls who are sexually active, young, this is a group of young ladies, and the other young ladies make fun of her, and she's a prude, and she's a virgin, and she doesn't, you know, she's inexperienced, and they make fun of her. And one day she finally speaks up, and she says, you know, girls, any day that I want to, I can be just like you, but you can never be like me. She was holding on to something that was special. She had something that traditionally people used to think was important, and they used to hold until marriage. And once they got into marriage, they would keep it. They would keep that one thing for one person. And I think that's that, in my faith, that's what the Bible tells us. Maybe not in so many words, and maybe there's not a whole lot of examples of people who do that, especially in the main characters and in the stories of the Bible. Like, there's a lot of womanizing going on. There's a lot of polygamy, but this is there's a lot of historical stuff there. But we see that, you know, that which Cal had up until that point was special. And he shouldn't have given that up. I think that's part of the tragedy of this movie, is that he allows his hurt feelings, he allows the influence of somebody else to take him down a path, and man, it's an easy path. It's a very easy path to say, you can have more, You know, you can have something different. The allure of something different is huge. And I'm sure it was present in Cal's life for a long time. There's a book called Every Man's Struggle. And it's about that, the allure of other women, the allure of promiscuity for a man. And it's really easy to struggle with that. Men are very visual, and we see women all around us. And especially when you're having difficulty, like Cal was, marriage difficulty, relationship difficulty, it's really easy to look around and say, wow, maybe there's an opportunity here for me to find something else. And that's what Jacob was offering. And that's what he got. But he found out down the road, you know, he had only been with one woman at one point. He says, I've now been with 9 women. And when he says it, he's broken. He says it to his wife. And so that completely destroys what they had. If he had gone and been with one person, the way his wife had, perhaps it could have worked that out. If he had been with 2 or 3, it's possible, you know, that she would have been able to forgive that. But when you hit a number like 9 in a short period of time, there's a real offense there. And I think that he went too far. I mean, obviously he went too far. He was broken up about it. She was completely disgusted by it, which is not surprising. Some people will say, well, can you blame Cal? Can you blame him? You know, she messed up. She broke up with marriage and you know, and basically have the same ideals as Jacob Palmer. You know, this man is put upon. Let him go out and sow his wild oats and do what he's going to do. And that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that it's tragic. It's tragic that they had something wonderful. Yeah, it wasn't him who directly messed it up, but I'm sure there was more there than just she's evil and wicked because she seems to still want to be with him. She seems to still love him and definitely love her children. And she even says, I'm confused and I'm thinking that this is maybe a midlife crisis and all this stuff is going on. But when I watched this movie so many times, I always considered it a story about Cal Weaver. But now I look at the story of Jacob Palmer, this young man who has now befriended an older man and taken him down this path and basically lived out his ideals and shared them with somebody else who didn't have them and now convinced him that those ideals were right, at least temporarily. But then something happens to Jacob Palmer. He meets a girl and he falls in love. And I mentioned Hannah earlier. She's the girl who he approached who said no to him. So many times these girls were saying yes, and he had it down to a formula of how to get a girl to say yes. She said no. She rejected him. She walked away. And that'll definitely catch a young man's attention. But eventually she has a bad day and she comes back and she's been thinking about him probably, and at least she thinks about him enough to remember him and go and find him. And so she's trying to jump into that world and just have a fling with this guy. And he's kind of recognizing that she's not that type of person. And he calls her cute and he tells her, you know, like, you're adorable. And she hates it. She hates it because she wants to have a fling. And yet what ends up happening is they don't have a fling. They have a long conversation and they get to know each other. And Jacob opens up and starts to talk about himself. And that's where all these things were revealed about his family, about his father and mother. And so he falls in love. So this young man with all these ideals and all these thoughts and this way of living, he falls in love. And guess what? It's a real curveball for him. He doesn't understand it. He's never been there before. And now he's feeling things he's never felt. He's abandoning his old way of life, which he thought he would never do. And he's realizing that there's something much more to this thing of falling in love, of really caring for somebody else. And I'm going to put my 2 cents in here. I think what he found later on was the good thing, the thing that Cal had. Before it was broken up, The thing that should have happened is they should have tried to fix their marriage, especially Cal. He should have stood up and done something. But the idea of manhood, the idea of manhood is not aggressiveness and going out and getting everything that you want. The idea of manhood is responsibility. And we saw that in Cal, in that he would go and take care of the house. He would go and take care of the yard in the middle of the night where he wouldn't be seen. When his wife calls him about fixing something in the house, I mean, it's kind of a tender moment because he sees that she's just making things up. But she calls him with a technical question about the house, and he walks her through it. And that's what a man is supposed to do. He's supposed to be responsible. He's supposed to be there. He's supposed to help. He's supposed to be a father. That's what manhood is responsibility, taking responsibility for what happens to you. Cal and Emily, they had gotten pregnant in high school. I mean, Emily got pregnant in high school, and what did they do? They got married, because that's what you do when you're a man. You know, first of all, people ask all the time, like, well, I don't think you should marry somebody just because you got them pregnant. What I think is you shouldn't get somebody pregnant if you're not willing to marry them. And that's kind of a hard line, and maybe a lot of people don't want to live by those kinds of rules, but I think if you're willing to sleep with somebody, you should be willing to spend your life with them. Maybe that's idealistic and that's a little too high for some people. Maybe that seems religious or I don't know, like idealistic, but but that's how I feel. But I know not everybody's going to live that way. But Cal did it. Because they got pregnant, he took the high road and he got married with her. They decided to get married. They both did what is quote unquote the right thing. And he was taking responsibility. This is my child. I'm going to take care of her. And they raised a good kid because she completely turned Jacob's life upside down. And the deal is his world was already upside down. So she turned it right side up. And they found out that the world of Cal and Emily, where they used to be, that was the right side up world, where you fall in love and you get married and you have a family. And I believe that. I have very very old-fashioned values, and I think that family is really, really important. That's something that I have in my life, is a long-standing marriage and a family. And I don't have a fancy house or fancy cars or any kind of a title, but I take responsibility for what's mine, and I love my family. And I see that in this movie, all of these themes are touched on. And I see that Jacob Palmer is the one who has a character arc. He's the one who gets redemption. He's the one who turns his life around. And with Cal, we don't know how much damage was done and how much can be repaired. But with Jacob, I see that there's a lot of hope with him because he found Hannah, and she is actually a product of Cal and Emily. And all of these things come together and they make for a pretty good movie. This is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Thank you for listening.